from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Now to 3-1. Reynolds swings, hits it in the air towards right center. Merrill on the move, dives, reaches down, and he made the catch! How about a hang a star to end a game? Jackson Merrill did it all week with the bat, and tonight with the glove, he ends the game. There will be no challenge, and the Padres beat the Pirates again. Final score of 2-1.
What a terrific closeout play by none other than Jackson Merrill.
Welcome into a Tuesday edition of Gwynn and Chris, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. As you heard, the Padres win another one. And, I mean, it was pretty, I don't know if spectacular is too strong a word, but it didn't end ordinary. A nice, throw out the star type play for Jackson Merrill to end it. Offensively didn't have his fingerprints on it, but they didn't need it. They got just enough offense. But I think the story of yesterday's game was Joe Musgrove. We'll get to that in a second. Let me welcome in Chris Ello. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good, Tony. I was there last night, and as soon as that ball was hit by Brian Reynolds, the two words that flashed into my head were tie game. You had Bay on first base, pinch running for Pittsburgh. That ball gets down in the gap. He's scoring easily. And I thought the catch was about a 7 itself, but I thought the fact that he closed the ground he did was about a 9. Remember, he's probably playing a few steps deeper because it's a no-doubles defense. He had to race over. He had to race in. And the timing of the catch is an 11, you know, because it basically saves the game from being tied. And his flair for the dramatic and the remarkable right now just continues. I mean, this the legend continues to grow right now.
Yeah, it was a nice play. I mean, who was that who hit that ball? Was it Reynolds that hit that
Reynolds,
ball?
Yeah, Reynolds, yeah.
Reynolds tagged that ball, so the depth didn't matter because he hit it so hard. He just had to go laterally, and, you know, not everybody's comfortable going that direction as a right-handed thrower. You know, I know I always felt better to the backhand side diving that way versus diving to the forehand side.
So, really? Huh.
He closed the ground on it terrific. I had a great view of it. I mean, the jump was good. It was, as you said, it was probably about a 7 in terms of the catch itself. But, again, the moment you make those catches actually matters because not everybody can come up and close the deal and make that play there. Jackson does it. But as I said, Joe Musgrove to me was the story. No one really knew what to expect. We certainly had heard a lot of good things in terms of some of the changes he has made, had really gotten rid of some of the pain that he was dealing with. But you never know. We get into a big league ball game, and that you're doing things a little bit crispier, a little bit faster. He looked great, man. I mean, he wasn't even like particularly sharp, you know, for a guy who has not thrown on a big league mound since May, end of May. But in typical Joe Musgrove fashion, competed. Velocity looked good. Spin looked good. I'm saying in terms, he didn't look sharp in terms of commanding all of it where he wanted to, but stuff was crispy, fastball was popping, and it was just nice to see my man back on the mound again, man. That's a shot in the arm for this ball club, and it certainly helped to have him out there in a game in which they won 2-1.
Yeah, I don't underestimate how important this was to the people in the clubhouse. You know, yeah. I mean, we think about how important it was to us, the fans and everybody. And, you know, we love Joe Musgrove as a whole here in San Diego. I'm sure there's a few fans out there that just are not Joe Musgrove, big supporters. But by and large, it's pretty hard to find somebody that doesn't like Joe Musgrove. So we're rooting for this guy. And the thing that impressed me the most, Tony, is you talked about some of the changes he's made in his delivery and his arm slot, whatever he has to do to try to take some of the pressure off, you know, the injured, you know, thing, you know, to try to keep away from the injury. And usually when you make a change like that, it's, I mean, you're almost going to give the guy a couple of games just to figure it out. And to come in there and throw 4 1/3 innings and allow just 2 hits and walk only one guy, I mean, that's pretty good. I think he hit a batter too, but I mean, my goodness, he was really good. And 63 pitches, 43 of them were strikes, and yeah, I mean, that was big, and the Padres, you know, bats were quiet last night, so it was important that Musgrove pitched scoreless baseball, and to nobody's surprise, the bullpen came in and did what they usually do after that. But
what about Donovan Solano making Manny Machado plays down the third base
line? He made two in a row there. He made one on the last, or actually both of them were the first two outs that Hoeing got after he came into the game, but yeah. I think somebody said on Twitter, you got Solano'd instead of Machado, because he made two really good plays in a row. But, yeah, Musgrove doing what he did, that means not only it helps you win a game last night, makes all the fans feel good, but everyone in that locker room and that clubhouse and this organization to know that potentially they've got, you know, a solid Joe Musgrove going forward. That's a huge, huge thing. So
I mean, the Solano thing is not a surprise. I mean, it really hasn't mattered who the Padres have plugged in. You know,
a lot of times
we've really done this before. It just hasn't turned out like this. I mean, the Padres have had injuries in the past. They've had guys in and out of the lineup, and they didn't have the kind of depth that they have this year where you could plug someone in and not necessarily ask him to be a Manny Machado or ask him to be a Joe Musgrove or ask him to be a Yu Darvish or whoever it is that is missed. But everybody who has come in, and this goes back to the Korea trip, right, where, you know, you had Tyler Wade having got a start. And those guys have been so valuable in those roles all season long. Whether it was a Tyler Wade, whether it's a Solano, whether it's a Peralta, it's been Johnson at times. I mean, the Padres have had a set of different guys. So Zokar early in the season, they've had different guys at different moments fill the void that has been needed at the time, and they've really hit on all of them. I mean, at some point, everybody has contributed. At this point, they've contributed on multiple occasions in different games. And so I think this is why the Padres can have a night in which the offense is relatively quiet. What, 6 hits on both sides? The Padres did what the Pirates didn't do as well. They executed. When they got runners on second and over, when they got their opportunity, they cashed it in. And whether it's the sack bunt or sack fly, or moving guys over, this is a part of what they've done well all season long.
Yeah, the key statistic in the game last night was left on base. Padres left 2, Pirates left 10.
And execution.
Yeah, the Padres got their guys in, the Pirates did not. But, you know, again, one of the reasons they didn't is because the kid makes the play. I'm trying not to overstate this. I'm trying to get away from the Rookie of the Year talk on, you know, every hour of every show. But, you know, he has, and Mike Schilt said this last night before the game, he has bludgeoned his way to the top of the Rookie of the Year picture. There's absolutely no way you can follow baseball, no matter where you are, even that East Coast bias thing, and not have seen some of the things that he's done in the last 6 days. You know, three tying home runs and now a game-saving catch. That basically is, you know, very responsible for four wins in a six-day span. That has got to get the attention of everybody. So I don't think we need to keep saying he's the Rookie of the Year. He's making all of the cases for himself with his play, and his timing is insane, Tony. I mean, maybe we should have known that was how the game was going to end, you know, I mean, because of the way things have been going for him lately.
Yeah, no, Jackson's. I think you said it all. Jackson's playing very well right now. Just needs to keep it up for another month and a half. So
yeah.
I won't spend too much time in the year conversation as it pertains to Jackson. He's doing all that he needs to do. Ultimately, the voters need to pay close attention to what him and Paul Skeens, because that's basically the two dudes who, at this point, are in it. I mean, it could take. Listen, I do recall Paul Goldschmidt, the year he won, was out in front for a very, very long time. And then he had, like, one of the worst middle of August on. Like, he struggled. And all of a sudden, the conversation wasn't as crispy as it was for him early. So Jackson just needs to keep playing how he's playing, and that'll take care of the rest. On the flip side, the Padres had last night, I believe, was the eighth time in the past 15 game that the Padres have had to use the bullpen for four innings or more. And, you know, we kind of seen this a little bit earlier in the year at one point where after some, like, about a slew of great starts, there was a rough patch there where the starters were struggling. Bullpen came in and did their job for the most part, but then we saw shortly thereafter the bullpen start to struggle a little bit. And that was a little bit before the Padres made the moves that they made. And I bring this up because of all the things that are going right for the Padres right now, there are some things that are starting to pop up. You know, you're not having everybody at their best right now coming out of the bullpen. You brought it up yesterday about Yuki being in that high leverage spot that he hasn't been in. He's been in and out of, I think, this year. And you know, you're watching. And yesterday was a little bit different, obviously, because you knew going in that Joe wasn't going to be. I mean, yes, he could have used the 60-whatever pitches and just been so efficient that he got to, like, the sixth inning. But if you were being real about it, that was unlikely to happen in his first start. So you kind of knew this was coming, but you know, this is not something that I think Mike Shield had hit on it maybe a week ago. It isn't something that he necessarily wants to have to do. He would rather be able to go, you know, six, have a seventh, have an eighth, have a ninth, boom, done with it. But you know, there has been, especially on that road trip, the Padres won all but one of those games, but that bullpen was taxed pretty good.
Yeah, I think the only difference that I see this time, the bullpen is, you know, better and more equipped to deal with this than they were early in the season. But secondly, I think a lot of this also has had to do with the fact that, you know, maybe intentionally to a certain extent, the Padres are, you know, just not asking Waldron, not asking King, not asking, obviously, last night, Musgrove, but not asking some of these guys to go as deep into games to try and save some of the innings for the starters as well moving forward. So I think some of this is also by design. But I know what you're saying, Tony. When you use the bullpen four-plus innings every single game, eventually they get tired, and they start not performing up to the same level that they had been. So it can happen.
I mean, regardless of what the reasoning is, because we saw this coming in terms of having to monitor Waldron's innings, having to monitor King's innings. No matter how good they've been, this is a part of the calculus in going out and adding all of the arms that they added, because they're going to have to absorb some of it. You're right. I think they are shaving innings off everywhere they can for some of the starters, and that's on top of, you know, although Strada looked better yesterday, he hasn't quite been his regular self. So just something to keep an eye on. Not a worry of any sort, but something to pay attention to as these games
continue. Well, we have to give
forward.
The fans out there something to worry about. Some of them to not be comfortable if they didn't have something to be stressed about.
Or they would come up with it on their own. I'm going to give them a legitimate one.
I mean, before yesterday, everybody was panicked that the pitching wasn't very good ever again.
Well, I think they go out and they shut it down.
What? I'm just saying, every day, even though they've won 17 to 20,
yeah.
People are coming up with something.
It's from Padres pen pals yesterday. This is not sustainable, is what the writer
That's
said.
That's right.
To come back and win every single game, not necessarily they came back last night, but these close games, like, it's stressful. And Jerickson Profar even said, these are exhausting games to play.
So. They are. There's no doubt. You got to be, like, the concentration level has to be so high in those type of games. And it's like, as soon as that, you can, like, let the concentration thing go, it is like you hit a brick wall at that point. And so I imagine doing that, especially on August 13th, where it's like you're like in the dog days as it is. Everybody is just trying to get to September, where it's like you don't have to try to get the energy. It's automatically there because it's almost like the brain and the body recognize, oh, it's like go time.
It's like summer vacation. When you know you're a month out as a kid, it's like, oh, the countdown is on.
Right. You lock in for that last month.
You lock in, exactly.
So I imagine that's a little bit what's going on right now for these guys. All right, let's step away. We've got off to a good start here. When we come back, the Padres have a stretch of 18 games in 18 days beginning Friday. We'll talk a little bit about that. And some of the best A.J. Preller moves of the year. All when we return. More Gwen and Chris.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Apparently, Scraby's guy's on the move to Pittsburgh. I don't know if you saw it all. You had Tony Gwynn Jr., Brandon Ayuk, 49ers, Steelers. Appear to have a deal in place.
Oh, that was also the news over the weekend. So,
all right, well, we'll see.
Don't be mad, Scraby.
No kidding.
I just want the whole situation to go away.
Don't get angry with me. Don't kill the messenger.
You're reporting news that's 3 days old.
It's not old. They apparently have, okay.
I know. I saw the news as I was walking to my car to leave for work today.
It sounds like you're a little bitter.
I'm just ready for this whole thing to be over. I don't care anymore.
He's wearing.
It's over. It's just what you rooted for.
No, it's not. It's not official.
Well, I'm actually still looking for it. Where'd you guys see it at?
CBS Sports says they have a deal in place. So whatever, Scraby, deny. Makes you feel better. Welcome back
Scraby's
to Gwynn and Chris.
Man.
Oh, he's all. He's
I don't
all
want
so in
a
his
guy
feelings
who doesn't
right now.
Want to play on the 49ers on the team.
You know, you sound like you're the owner of the team.
I kind of am.
You really, truly do. You're just a fan and stay in your lane.
Hey, the 49ers are the only thing I will lose my mind over in the sports world.
And you do.
And I do. And this has been a major distraction, and this is going to ultimately hurt the team on the field.
Yes, it is. Because guess who's your number one now? And he's got to be a true number one.
We'll ask about number one.
Oh, wait, you know what? Never mind. There's no such thing as a number one receiver. So you guys will be fine.
Okay.
Debo.
I mean, he's going to be good, but...
Nobody cares that your feelings are this hurt.
No.
You brought it up.
Yeah,
I just brought up a news story to the people that might be interested in knowing that Brandon Ayuk is apparently on his way to the Steelers.
He's a Steeler.
You have gone into a complete, utter, deep depression, and you're trying to make yourself feel better by yelling out, "We don't want anybody who doesn't want to be a 49er."
It's true. Why would you want someone on your team that doesn't want to be on your team? I don't understand it.
Well, when it is your team, I won't mind you saying that, but it is still not your team.
What were you going to say, Tony?
It's the team you're a fan of.
I was going to say, it's almost like you're upset that he doesn't want to be on your team, but you also don't want him on your team because he doesn't want to be on your team. I can see the conundrum.
No, I think deep down inside, Brandon Ayuk is like, man, they called my bluff and now I'm going to Pittsburgh.
No, bro, that ain't it.
Well,
that
you want to go to Pittsburgh where Russell Wilson and Justin Fields are slapping each other on the field?
Yes, yes.
Was that true,
Chris?
Do you remember reporting that?
He wants true stability.
He wants to go where he has a solid, you know, big league quarterback like Russell Wilson instead of some, you know, ne'er-do-well youngster like Brock Purdy.
What is Russell Wilson?
And he gets to play for Mike Tomlin.
That is a plus. I will give him that.
So there is that.
Mike Tomlin is a good coach. He's going to go. But, I mean, Justin Fields and Russell Wilson slapping each other during practice does not sound like stability.
Where did the slapping each other?
Chris reported it a few weeks ago.
I saw a picture on Twitter. The two of them, they didn't slap each other. Justin Fields threw a touchdown pass in practice and turned to Russell Wilson and said something to the effect of, yep, the highest paid backup in the league. I ought to be working at Walmart.
and then
for some reason, Russell Wilson thought that was kind of a rude thing to say, so he slapped him, and the bench is emptied at Pittsburgh training camp.
Wait, is this are you guys making this up? Is this real?
This is not coming from the bearer of misinformation.
It was a real tweet, and there was video of the brawl.
Let me pull this up. That's crazy.
Come on.
It
man.
Is crazy.
It is crazy. Russell Wilson is crazy. I think he's the very definition of crazy these days. Welcome back. Gwen and Chris, we are here. Scraby is now going to be down and out because it looks like his man is gone. Now, even it's really funny because to listen to you complain about this, you're saying we don't want Ayuk if he doesn't want to be here. What I'm hearing is, oh no, we lost him.
That's what I'm hearing.
That's what I'm hearing. I know what you're saying, but I'm not
to be
hearing
angry
that.
So that it doesn't hurt when he actually does get traded, because it's going to hurt the team. Oh yeah, you think it's good to lose a wide receiver with like 3 weeks before the regular season? Absolutely not. Like, they had a deal in place with the Browns. They're going to send Amari Cooper back. I would have been all about that. And then Brandon Ayuk didn't want to get traded to the Patriots. Since when is he calling the shots? Come on.
It's rough being Scraby.
He threw his mic away. That's how pissed he was right there.
Yeah, he did.
You brought this up, Chris, and you know where this would have gone from the beginning.
I know where it's going to go because you're a diehard. You're beyond a diehard. You're in a whole other category.
It's in my blood, Chris.
Yeah, it is. All right, we got the Padres and the Pirates coming up tonight. Game two of the three-game series. Michael King is the starter tonight for the Padres, and we want to let you know that at some point during our show today, that means anytime now between now and 5:30, you're going to have a chance to win a pair of tickets to see one of my wife's favorite bands, Def Leppard. That doesn't mean you can invite her. Def Leppard and Journey, they are performing at Petco Park on August the 30th. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. So that
is going
to be coming up a little later.
I got to say this. I'm searching for Russell Wilson slaps Fields. I can't find this bad boy anywhere. I need you guys to tell me where to find Russell Wilson slapping Fields.
See,
Justin Fields.
When we did this, there were plenty of videos that came up, and I believe we got fooled, and I didn't want to call Chris out in the air for it. But I think that maybe that was an over-exaggeration.
Oh, but it's a whole lot better if you go with my version of the story, isn't it? It is.
But I don't believe that Justin Fields turned around and said, I guess I should be working at Walmart.
And then on top of that, Russell Wilson said, oh, that's disrespectful. Let me slap
So you're telling me they just had video of the brawl and they blamed it on Russell Wilson.
Yeah, it's being confirmed on the chat.
Fields.
It's a fake report. See, I didn't do what you do to me and immediately say, oh, well, we got a misinterpretation.
Tell me, it's a fugazi?
It was a fugazi.
It's a fugazi.
I thought, man, Russell Wilson is
Russell,
coming.
He must have really gone off the deep end if he slaps.
He's going to the loony bin if he's slapping the guy.
Either way, they did have a fight in practice. I mean, that
was a
true.
Speaking of fights in practice, I thought this was special. Jesse sent me this. I saw it earlier, but I didn't like save it. Jesse just sent it to me. Jared Mayo's message. Did you guys see this to his Patriot team?
I did not.
This is great. I hadn't heard this before. He says, this is the rules. If you are a starter and you fight, you're playing the entire preseason game. If you are a backup and you fight, you aren't playing a preseason game at all. Mm. That's how he is going. He must be one of these coaches that is not in agreement that these fights are okay. Because that stance seems to tell me that these are punishments.
Yeah. I mean, it does sound like a punishment.
Can you imagine as a star, like a Justin Jefferson out there, he gets to the fight. All right, man, you in the whole preseason game.
Every route.
That's pretty – I like that. I got to say, that's pretty creative.
It's hard for these coaches to take back control.
Coaches need to take back control of their locker rooms, man. They don't have as much as they used to. Unless you're Mike Tomlin. I mean, how many coaches really can even do what Gerard Mayo's doing? I like it. Throw the gauntlet down.
He's definitely throwing the gauntlet down for sure.
Keep these guys at bay. Padres did win last night, 2-1 Pirates. Jackson Merrill got the final out on a beautiful running, diving catch in right center field. Padres did not do much on offense. I thought Profar once again came up with the one big hit they needed
last night.
You know, nobody was touching this Jake Woodford. The guy was pitching probably the game of his life into the seventh inning, and finally Profar rips one into the corner for a double. That set up the first run of the game, but it's not surprising that it's Profar once again. You know, he came up with that big play. Bogarts obviously had to single him in once the infield came in, Tony, but
how about his at-bat?
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about not just doing the job that you're asked to do there, which is getting him in. He was basically playing prep pepper. If you go back and look at the swing he took,
yes, he was
to shoot it through the right side. That is a pepper drill type swing, and it was exactly what they needed.
Yeah,
exactly what they needed.
It was great. Just fantastic. Padres win, finding all the ways to win these games. 17 out of 20 is the stretch. But as you may or may not know, Diamondbacks, they rallied to win. Dodgers got a good performance from Kershaw. So it's pretty much status quo in the NL West.
Can't make this stuff up. It's just Padres win, everybody else wins.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Giants did lose a 1-0 thriller to the Braves in extra innings.
Blake Snell had a no-no going there for a little bit.
Snell did it again, but he actually ended up getting outpitched by Chris Sale. Mm-hmm. So that was a really good battle of left-handers last night.
That was
an old-school
ace matchup right there that you used to tune in for.
Right.
Every week that matchup would happen and everybody would be dialed in.
Bob Gibson against Tom Seaver.
This is boring.
But that's the thing. Those games aren't boring. There might not be any action, but watching a pitcher who's on, like we've seen Blake before, like it's fun to watch him when he's got it going. So imagine that happening on both sides. You, as an offensive player, you're like, whoo, I just got to find a way to get on base somehow. Yep. It ain't even about getting a hit. Just get on base.
That's what happened last night in San Fran, for sure. Yankees fell to the White Sox 12-2. I'm sure the folks in New York are just losing their minds today over that.
How embarrassing. Oh, yeah, here we. I can't wait.
Where was Juan Soto for this one?
Oh, boy. Now, he's starting in on that, Juan Soto there.
I am
that
feeling
was even
weird
without
today,
me.
Guys. I'm going to be a weirdo.
That was even without me. Will Leitch is coming up next. Speaking of...
Oops, sorry.
Will Leitch is not a weirdo, thankfully.
Dude, what's wrong with you?
I don't know. I just went into break mode and turned off all the mics.
I don't know. I'm going to ask you out there not to go anywhere. We may be going somewhere when Gwen and Chris returns.
To the moment you missed on 97.3 The Fan. While you're listening to 97.3 The Fan, you can see what you missed and click to listen on demand. Missed a guest, feature, or if something crazy that tends to happen on this show, we got you covered. Download the free Odyssey app, search 97.3 The Fan, and tap earlier today to get started. Let's jump right to our phone lines. And our guest, Will Leitch, MLB.com, joins us. Will, it's been a minute, man. How are you?
Good. I'm a little nervous to come on. I feel like I was on the show constantly last year saying, don't worry, the Padres are going to be fine. We're going to turn it around. And then it didn't. And now things are going well. I hope I don't jinx them.
Yeah, well, I hope so, too. We have a little bit of PTSD out this way, and I don't know if it has anything to do with you, just that year in itself. But what the Padres have provided a little bit in some PTSD relief is some consistency here. And I just, on the East Coast, you know, specifically as we have this conversation is budding about young Jackson Merrill and Paul's schemes. What are you guys seeing out that way? That, you know, may have kind of be able to kind of curtail what this story is going to end up being like.
You know, it's interesting. If you're, I think one of the best that could happen to Merrill is the Pirates continuing to lose. Because I think that the general consensus is that while Skeens may be a little bit ahead right now, though Merrill has clearly made a pretty quick run on him, eventually the Pirates are going to, if they fall too far out of the race, which certainly looks like it's in danger of happening, they need Paul Skeens for next year and the year after. And so it wouldn't be really shocking to see a certain point for them to be like, okay, been a great year, Skeens, but we're going to shut you down for now. Mm. And if that happens, I think that clearly opens up a lane for Merrill if he doesn't already go ahead and make that lane himself, because clearly – what they've been doing has been pretty exciting and certainly very dramatic. Skeens, I think he's such a central part of baseball's marketing, and he's obviously been terrific. But certainly, I think that what Merrill has been doing in some pretty high profile moments has really been something to see.
Yeah, I think the word is getting around for sure. Will Leitch is with us talking some baseball here. How surprised are you that the Padres have gone on a 16-3 or 17-3 run now and gone 14 games over 500 and all of a sudden even putting some pressure on the Dodgers? I mean, should we be a little astonished that this is happening before our very eyes out here, Will?
I mean, I was pretty astonished that last year happened. So you're probably due for some good astonishment. To be entirely honest with you. I think, even when we talked about last year's team, I think there was a sense that their team was obviously better than what they were playing. And there was due for some good vibes, some good rebound vibes to finally happen. I think you're seeing that. But I think you're right. You touched on it earlier. The big difference for the Padres, they're getting consistency. And even as talented as last year's team was, they just never got that consistency. And I think that's what you're seeing now. And I think it's pretty exciting. And I think that, even when they made that trade in the offseason, one of the things they talked about was to, lengthen the rotation a little bit and get a little depth and just give them a little bit more of that stability. Now, there have been some ups and downs in that, obviously. But, there is a steady hand. And, it's funny, one of my big controversial predictions of the offseason was the idea that Mike Schilt could be a sleeper candidate for manager of the year. And partly it's because I think Mike Schilt's a pretty good manager, but also because, clearly last year there was this massive underachievement with what happened. And then so this year, that kind of bounce back, I think he was set to benefit. But, even with the Cardinals, he had a surprising end to his career with the Cardinals. But even with those teams, he was known as a pretty steady guy and one that could kind of keep things level. I think you're seeing that now. So I think that there is some good fortune coming their way, and where there was so much bad fortune last year. But really, I think it's as basic as the baseball season's a long season. Those wild swings that you see, you really just kind of need to level that out. And I think you're seeing that. And frankly, I think that's one of the reasons they've been able to catch up, make some ground on the Dodgers. And the Dodgers obviously have a lot of talent, and now Betts is back, and we'll see what happens. But the Dodgers have had so many wild fluctuations this year, and so many things that have gone this way and that way. I think there is something to that kind of steadiness. But also, it's worth noting, it's really been kind of remarkable to see how the entire NL West has been, really, for the last month. It's crazy that basically three of the hottest teams in baseball come from the NL West, and none of them are the Dodgers. It's a pretty fun thing to happen. So it's really making for a pretty exciting race, and it's really something that the Padres are kind of so well situated right now. Particularly because you start to look at the rest of the NL wildcard chase. Sure, the Giants have been a little hotter, and the Cubs are kind of coming on. The Cardinals seem to be fading, but I don't think anything about the Mets or even the Braves looks all that scary right now. I think not only this has been a hot run for the Padres, but when you look around, I don't look at those other teams and think, oh, beware of them. I think the Padres are just as well positioned as they are.
Yeah, the Padres have handled both of those teams well here in the regular season. Well, I got to ask you a little bit about that, the National League West that you kind of hit on. We talked at the beginning of the season, and I think about a lot of people's accounts, they thought the National League West could be one of the tougher divisions. It just took about half of a season for them to kind of start to prove that. What do you think happened in that time? Is it as simple as teams getting healthy?
Partly that, but you've also seen them kind of get some stability too. It's funny when you look at the Diamondbacks. I've been writing about the Diamondbacks all year, and I've been pointing out that clearly I think everyone was under the presumption that with some of the moves they made the offseason, and like Corbin Carroll presumably getting even better after his terrific year last year, that they were in fact better than the team that went to the World Series last year. Now, last year's World Series team had a certain flukish aspect to it. They were outscored on the year. I thought it was kind of funny for a lot of this year. The Diamondbacks had a better run differential than last year's World Series team, but had a far worse record. And we're under 500. That's another one of those things I know Padres fans don't want to hear about positive run differential after last year, but generally that does swing back. It didn't swing back for the Padres last year, sorry, but it does swing back, and I think you've seen that from the Diamondbacks. And I think it's remarkable too when you think of the things, a lot of things have gone wrong for that team. Jordan Montgomery was one of their big guys, and that hasn't really worked out at all. And even with the Giants, half of this season Blake Snell was a mess for them until he's really snapped back now. So I think that I do feel like a lot of things things are landing just right for those teams. But also, I think it speaks to all three of those teams, the Diamondbacks, the Giants, and I guess and the Padres as well. They all went into this season with the expectations of winning. Now, the Padres took some chance. Obviously, they lost Snell, they lost Soto. But I think going into the season, the idea was like the Padres were not punting. The Padres were trying to win this year just like the Diamondbacks and Giants were. And so the idea, like at a certain level, these were the expectations for all three of those teams. And it speaks to the idea that when you have those expectations, you're not like, say, the Nationals. The Nationals were a team that was kind of around the wild card chase for a while, but really was not that aggressive about going after some of their needs because they knew they were pushing off down the line. All three of those teams had a lot invested in this year and did what they could to add to those teams at the deadline and stay the course, and I think you're seeing the benefits of that now.
Will Leitz is with us talking some baseball here on Gwynn and Chris. Will, there's a couple of strange statistical things that could happen this year, and I wanted to get some of your thoughts. Number one, it's looking more and more like we're not going to have a single team this year win 100 games. One of those teams could get hot and maybe get there. But at the moment, I don't think anybody's on pace for 100. And that doesn't happen very often. I think the last time was 2014. Maybe even stranger is what's going on in the National League, where as of right now, Luis Arraez and Marcell Ozuna are the only two hitters who qualify over the 300 batting mark. And Arraez is the leader, I think, at 305. We could have the first season in baseball history where a league doesn't have a 300 hitter. Do these two things say anything about the state of baseball as of right now?
You know, I think the first one definitely does, and in a way that I think is maybe not as positive, which is to say, you know, winning 100 games, you know, that's great, and it's very important, and if you win 100 games, great, you had an awesome season. But, you know, ask the Baltimore Orioles last year of what good that got them in the playoffs. I think you're seeing more and more teams recognizing that trying to build that super team that dominates the regular season, it doesn't mean as much as it did in 1993 or 1984 or 1967. Really, you're just trying to get in the tournament. Ask the Diamondbacks about that last year, who won 85, 86 games and still went to the World Series. I think teams aren't necessarily incentivized to try to be 100-win teams. What you want to do is your best self heading into October and not really sweat trying to become that kind of super team, which I'm not sure is great, right? Because I think that ultimately, I think it's good that more teams are in the playoff chase now. I think that is positive, and I think that's a reason, that's the good side that you get with the expanded playoffs. The bad side you get is the regular season for these really top-shelf teams like the Dodgers or like the Phillies. They can go ahead and have a bad month and not really sweat it or not really feel like they need to go do something to fix it, because really all they got to do is get in the tournament. And so the idea, like those pennant chases we've seen in the past where there's that famous year where the Giants won 103 games and didn't make the playoffs in like the late 80s, you're just not going to see that anymore. And so teams aren't encouraged to go for 100 wins, so they're not getting 100 wins. It doesn't really matter. If you get 97 in the number one seed, that's the same as winning 100. So, and again, the Orioles won 100 games last year, and they lost all three playoff games, and none of that mattered at all. So I think that's why you're seeing not as many 100-win teams. As for the batting average thing, I think that is just in this, the progression of what baseball is going. You know, the batters like, I love Arraez, we all love Arraez, but guys like that are just, you know, that's not what teams are incentivizing when they get players. And, you know, I think that's one of the things that baseball has worked on trying to correct a little bit, but I think it's going to take a while. I think at a certain level, you know, in a world of launch angle and exit velocity, the idea of being a 300 hitter is just not something that's valued. I don't think that's just true for teams. I think players also don't necessarily feel that way. I mean, if you go out to the ballpark and look at, it used to be when you went to the ballpark, batting average was the only percentage you saw. Maybe you saw winning percentage, but that was it. Now you go to a game and you see all these different percentages, all these different things. And for an old school fan, that might feel strange. Who it doesn't mean to are players, because they've grown up in this world and they're used to this. They're constantly looking at these numbers, and batting average, frankly, is just not one of them that they're looking at that much. So I do think that I guarantee, I think it's cool. I love Arraez. I love guys in Stephen Kwan that go for 300 and so on, but they do feel like throwbacks more than necessarily something currently in today's game.
Yeah, players aren't into it because it's not incentivized. You don't get paid.
You don't get
to
paid
have
to
a high batting
anymore.
Average.
Yeah, yeah.
You just don't. But I think you are starting to see the pendulum that swung far to the one side slowly starting to make its way back, at least it makes an attempt back to the middle, because I think what players are recognizing is that in order to get paid, you got to be in this league long enough. And some of this stuff doesn't suit every player. So we'll see how it goes. Well, I want to ask you a little bit, and this is a little bit off of kind of what we've been at. I'm looking at the Oakland A's, soon to be Sacramento A's. Eventually, the Las Vegas A's. Major League Baseball clearly wants to expand two teams, but they can't do so until everybody is situated in terms of a home and a stadium that is up to the standards of today's day and age. How long do you think it'll be before this actually happens? Because you start to get the feeling that this Las Vegas thing is might not be a done deal when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I think that's what they need to get locked. I think Tampa, they were basically on the Rays and the A's to kind of figure out their situation. The Rays seem to have done that. I think they've kind of figured out their stadium situation. It's going to be built in the same area, which I think concerns some people. But I think certainly, basically, baseball's been wanting to expand, but they've had to wait to get those situations settled. The Rays are done. The A's would like to have their situation settled, but aren't necessarily there yet. But I do think that with the Rays situation now taken care of, there's going to be more and more pressure for the A's to get that locked down and get that nailed down. And it really is kind of crazy if you actually even kind of look at the way the schedule is set up for next year with the would-be Sacramento A's. There's actually some wiggle room. There's actually some games that they're playing that may be at their home stadium or may be at a undisclosed other location. Like, there's a lot of even for the Las Vegas thing, they're talking about playing games in other places. You know, they're trying to build some slack into there. I think they're eventually going to get that figured out, but there are situations that they have to figure out in Las Vegas and with that ownership group first. They are closer though. They are closer than they've been before, and I do think when that happens, Commissioner Rob Manfred has been very explicit saying he would like to, he's getting older. He's already talked about how this will probably be his last run, last contract as commissioner. It's something that he has prioritized to get done before he leaves. That requires the A's thing to get done, but when you're explicit about wanting to get all that done before you leave, these things tend to happen. So once the A's thing get done, it wouldn't surprise me to see that happen pretty quickly.
Well, Will, as always, man, we appreciate you coming on, talking some Padre baseball, talking some baseball in general with us. We'll catch up with you again down the line.
Of course. Thanks as always. Have a good one.
Thanks so much, Will.
Will Leitch of MLB.com, kind of breaking it down as he sees fit. He said he was a little scared coming on because last year he was the Padres' biggest cheerleader, and it just never quite happened.
Yeah, and I was doing a little looking at this 100-win team thing. There's been at least three teams that have won 100 games in each of the last six full seasons of baseball. Obviously, 2020, nobody won 100 games. So in each of the last 6 years, there's been at least three teams. This year, there may be no teams. But here's why what Will Leitch says is correct. Of the 20 teams that have won 100 games in the last 6 years, only the Astros in 17 and the Red Sox in 18 won the World Series. So that's why teams don't want to win 100 games, because it doesn't guarantee a championship at all.
But that's the thing, is nothing guarantees you a championship. I don't know that teams don't want to win 100 games. I don't know that there's a team that's played good enough, consistently enough, for a whole season. The thing about 100 games is it's from April to October, basically, that you plan pretty consistent baseball in order to get to 100 wins. It is not easy. And I just think we've been spoiled over the last 6 years of teams getting, multiple teams getting to 100. You're right. In the new format, and I don't even know if it has anything to do with the new format. You got to go so many rounds. So much can happen in that time frame for those 100-win teams. The Astros certainly figured it out in terms of, the bye. Nobody else has, though. So we'll see. It's still an early project, right? I mean, this is year three of the playoffs, right? Are year four? Three.
I think it'll be the third year, yeah.
Three, yeah. So we got a lot of data to collect before we can start really making an assumption of how it's affecting the playoff structure. But yeah, certainly right now, no one on pace. Let's get to break. 3 o'clock hour. on the way. Daily Gambit.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.